Sarah.
And I'm Max.
And this is the Self-Care Lifestyle Podcast. We strive to help you, the everyday person, to stop living on autopilot, overwhelmed and frustrated with the way things are. You deserve to do away with that frustration, achieve more balance in your life, and find fulfillment in your everyday.
We're here to help you stop going through the motions and start being the happiest and healthiest version of you, all by caring for yourself like someone worth caring for. Join us for conversations about self-care, wellness, mindfulness, and so much more that will help you find your own self-care lifestyle.
Okay, well, welcome back to another episode of the Self-Care Lifestyle Podcast.
Intro number two,
because apparently it's not okay to say welcome since we already have an introduction, but I don't know how else to start, so here we are.
You could start with a fart. Farts are funny.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I've been really enjoying listening to you read to the family the last few days. We have decided to read through and work through the...
You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Yes, that's the one. It's green.
Yep, by Jen Sincero. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's how you say her last name. I think I've heard it differently, but that's what we're going with.
I think it's Italian, and Italian is hard for us Texas people.
Yeah. Born and raised here in Texas. Well, you were not born in Texas. You were born in Louisiana.
Well, yeah, but that's like, I'm not from Texas on a technicality. Like it doesn't really count. I will still say I'm from Texas, but only because Cajun is like the south of the south.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm just trying to elevate my status a little bit.
And you were there for what? Like
3 months.
3 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Before hurricane season.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I came back here to the Austin area.
Yeah. To live. I got here as fast as I could. As fast as my little 3-month-old legs could carry me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sure you had a lot of say in that decision.
Oh, yeah. I was very verbal at 3, obviously.
At 3 months old?
Yes. My genius level intellect now obviously started, like, right from the get-go. You know?
Yeah. Well, we've been reading this book, and I've read it before, and there's notes all over the pages because that's my kind of thing with the self-help type books. And I think that self-help books get a bad rap, but that's besides the point. I think they're really great for developing positive thinking and better mindset and all that. And the chapter that we just read this morning was talking a lot about how your thoughts and your words drive your reality and your, how would you put it, babe?
I was thinking it's kind of like the movie The Matrix. Like the reality of each person is kind of shaped based on what they think and believe, and the reality of the people who don't know they're in the Matrix are different from the reality of, say, some of the main characters who have been out and understand that they're in the Matrix. So the whole question of, like, what does chicken actually taste like? Why does everything taste like chicken? Does the world just not know what things really taste like, so they just said everything tastes like chicken? Is that just a construct of you liking chicken, so you think everything tastes like chicken, or you don't like chicken, so everything tastes like chicken? It's like you have the power to shape your own reality. Is at least what I was thinking. I was obviously paying attention while you were reading, but that's also what I was thinking, is that was kind of like The Matrix. So
fascinating. It's been a really, really, really long time since I've seen The Matrix, so I don't really...
That's okay.
...remember to be able to grasp what you're explaining.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who gets it, and I'm sure they're like, yeah, that kind of works, because it's not a perfect analogy.
Okay.
But yeah. The chapter was talking about how when you say things like, I'm trying to remember one of the ones that really resonated with me. Oh, one of the examples she gave that wasn't about money was, oh, I have a bad memory. I say that all the time. And part of it is just, I do think my memory suffers because I have trouble paying attention to things. So I have trouble remembering things. But the book said that just saying that can even have an effect on your memory. And I was like, wow, maybe I should try saying that less and see if I remember things more often.
Yeah. Yeah. I know for me, I will make comments about not being confident or being unsure, or like if I'm at work and I'm talking through a concept or trying to explain something to someone, I'll say, does that make sense? And question myself versus standing firm in that thought and that. And it just makes it more likely that I'll be more unsure in the future rather than gaining more confidence by embracing it. And I wonder if, and I, this is kind of, you know, to bring it around to our point. I imagine that a lot of people listening have struggled with thinking about self-care as being something that is a must do. It's, I think when I was, you know, trying to figure this stuff out, and not that I'm completely figured out, but, there was a lot of thinking around, oh, self-care is selfish. And I think you hear that a lot, especially among parents and people who have a lot of extra responsibilities, and struggle to make time for themselves. And frankly, self-care isn't selfish. And saying that you can't make time for it, I mean, I think just perpetuates the not making time for it, I think is what we're trying to wrap our way around to. And there I go, saying I think and being unsure about my, about what I'm saying. But, you know, you can change how you feel about self-care. And I hope that some of the points that we're going to make in this episode will help you understand why you need to change your mindset about self-care and give you some points to drive forward with yourself and be like, hey, self-care isn't selfish. It's great because X, Y, and Z. You need to do it because X, Y, and Z. And all these amazing reasons to get yourself moving towards a self-care lifestyle, because that's the goal for you guys, is to build self-care into your lifestyle so that you feel good and you feel balanced and fulfilled and not just frustrated and overwhelmed and, you know, just blah. So yeah, did I ramble enough?
Almost, but I'll cut you off there. I think one of the main points we want to make sure everybody gets is that practicing self-care makes you the best version of yourself. And that's one of the main reasons that everybody should keep self-care in mind for themselves and why they should practice it. Because even if you feel like you're living each day just checking off a checklist, taking some time, even a little bit of time on a daily basis, or a longer amount of time every couple of days to practice the self-care that works for you, makes you the best version of yourself so that you can put your best foot forward at work or in your relationships, or even just in being you and your mindset around your situation or where you want to be. So if you're stressed out trying to get your checklist every day, and you take some time to recenter yourself, maybe have a glass of water or have a little 5-minute dance party, you have the power to refocus your mind and shape your reality. So instead of being stressed out, you're now energized and ready to tackle the rest of the things that have to happen now, so that maybe you have time for more self-care at the end of the day, or time to catch up on a Netflix show, or even just being more joyful throughout your day.
And present with your family and your...
Yeah, or present with your family, or both, joyful and present with both, your family.
I would hope.
I know I listened to another podcast, and one of the things, of all of the things that these smart guys that do this podcast have said, one of the examples that they give, that they've given a few times, is none of them like doing the dishes. But they're all fathers. They've all had time where they have taken off time from work. They've been fortunate enough to be able to do that and to help their wives around the house doing things like doing the dishes, where they all have a more, I would say in quotes, traditional household, where they all choose to go to work. Their wives choose to raise the kids and do their own businesses on the side. So for the guys, doing the dishes is not a common thing, but it's something that they do because they're there and they're present and they're helping out. But one of them in particular really hates doing the dishes. And he would always just begrudgingly do the dishes when the dishes piled up, or if his wife asked him to do the dishes, and he was like, just really didn't like it. Until I thought about it, and really me doing the dishes is not for me, it's for her. And I can make the dishes fun for me. I can listen to a podcast or listen to music or even sing a little song to myself while I'm doing the dishes. I can make a game out of it. I can time myself and see how fast I can get it done, because they're all very competitive. And I can reshape how I think about doing this chore to make it enjoyable. That way, when I'm done, I'm not in a bad mood because I didn't just finish doing something I don't enjoy. I just finished and I got a brand new personal record for getting all the dishes in the dishwasher and the dishwasher started. So now I'm pumped and energized. So my next interaction with my wife or kids, or even just with myself, I'm in a better mood and I'm putting my best self forward, even after coming off of something, even after finishing something that I used to really not like.
Wow. I'm processing. Do you want to share what that podcast is called?
Sure. This is the Mind Pump podcast. They claim to be the top fitness and health podcast in the world. I don't have any evidence to back that up or to say that they're not. So I take that at face value.
It's a little bro-y for my taste, but lots of good information there. And
oh, sure.
I definitely have enjoyed their perspectives on the episodes I've listened to. But I think your point here is kind of that self-care can be something that's not for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think self-care obviously has a lot of facets, and we'll get into all the different kinds of facets in later episodes. But I think the reason for my story was more just that it was an example of them reframing one of their items on their checklist to be self-care, to be re-energizing or even restorative in some way, because there were lots of things to do when you've got a newborn baby at home, even if mom and dad or dad and dad or mom, even if both parents can take time off of work to help with the baby, there's still a lot of things to do because babies need a lot of things done.
Sure.
So it was just a good example that came to mind of turning something into self-care that would not necessarily be self-care through the power of your own mind.
Okay.
And then even an example, like you said, of how it's not necessarily for you, but you like to do nice things for the people you love. And sometimes you can shape that into self-care. So that was kind of a double whammy on accident. But yeah.
Okay. So I think, and I want to come back to the point about being for other people, because I think it's important to come to self-care with a mindset of doing something for yourself to an extent. But if you need to hear that, hey, self-care is beneficial for my family, if I'm practicing this, if I am intentionally changing my mindset around the way I live my life to be more self-care based, that is going to benefit them in the long run. I'm going to be a more present mom. I'm going to be a more present wife. I'm going to be happier and just more and ready to jump in. But so if that's the starting point you need, then take that. But I think it's also important to remember that ultimately self-care is for you, which is why, I mean, it's for you, but it is for the people in your life too. But then that's also for you, because if they're happier, you're happier. It's an endless circle.
I mean, but it's a happy endless circle.
It's a happy endless circle. Right? But it's... I just want to make sure that as you're thinking about self-care as being for other people, that ultimately it is still for you. It's just that can definitely be a good way to get over that hump of trying to make time for it if you feel like it's easier for you to do something for someone else rather than yourself.
Absolutely.
So with all of that, we wanted to kind of talk about some examples specific to us that are about like what we are doing and how we are when we are and aren't practicing self-care. And to kind of illustrate why it's so important. So I personally need a lot of alone time to recharge, and for me, that's a big aspect of self-care. I'm very much an introvert. I need that alone time to be able to think and not be surrounded by people and just breathe without feeling crowded and overstimulated and all of that. And I find that when I'm not getting that, which frankly has happened a lot over the last year and a half with quarantine and with a newborn, that I was a lot crankier and stressed out and just frustrated because I wasn't allowing myself the space to practice that self-care and give myself what I needed to be a better mom and to be a better wife and to be a better employee. And I mean, there's always, you know, it was a little more challenging special situation with COVID and having to like stay at home and not be able to go anywhere, not be able to like kick my husband and my baby out of the house for the day to have some time, when especially at the beginning when he was very little. COVID had spiked pretty high in our area, so we had stayed very much to ourselves for like the first six or eight weeks, something like that, which was definitely challenging. But yeah, so for me, I see when I'm not doing those things because I get super, super stressed. My anxiety spikes. I'm very irritable. I don't have any kind of patience for anybody whatsoever, and it's just not good. So, yeah.
Sure. Sure. Well, I won't make any comments about how you were or were not in the past, because I don't think that's healthy. But I am curious, and genuinely curious, because we work from home. So on days where Reese is not here, you're at your desk for most of the day working. And I know you do have a lot of meetings. But how would you say what you just shared, needing some alone time, factors in while you're working from home, but also in Zoom meetings? Do you have things that you do throughout the day to try and get some time by yourself? Because I know you're also on chat and answering emails. all day, even if you, I've seen you answer chats in the bathroom before. So are there things that you try and do or are trying to do currently to factor that in more throughout the day? Or are you trying to prioritize it at the beginning or the end of the day? Or how does that look for you?
That is an aspect of my personal self-care that I definitely am still struggling with. Before I started my full-time job, which was in fall of 2019, I had plenty of alone time because I was freelancing and working from home, and Max would go and work his jobs out of the house, and I got the whole apartment to myself for several hours a day, and that was like so much alone time, so good, so much time to recharge and like work on creative projects and do what I wanted to do to just be me. But now it's a little more challenging because we're both working from home, like you said, and we have a one-year-old who very much wants to run around and get into everything and be with us all the time. Which is, he's very cute, but it's more challenging. I find that I do tend to have lighter days at work where I feel like I'm able to like work on creative stuff for my job that is kind of alone time in it of itself, because I'm not necessarily actively in email and chat. If I'm like working on web design stuff or graphic design stuff, I get to do some of both. And I'll get into my little creative bubble, and then just like that's definitely an aspect of recharging for me. In my current routine, I'm hoping to find more pockets of time as Reese starts, daycare, slash school, you know, for little babies. In the coming weeks, I'm hoping to find more pockets of time in the morning, after he leaves and before I start work, as well as possibly in the evening, just kind of depending on how our days look. But, that's kind of what I'm doing to find that time and to make sure I'm practicing self-care in the way that I need to.
Sure. I mean, I think that's definitely eye-opening for me as your partner who's here throughout the day, because I will usually just do my stuff in the day and then bother you at lunch. And then at the end of the day. So I appreciate you being open with your work schedule and sharing. I like how you said that you're kind of meshing your work with your self-care, mm-hmm. and taking some value in like the little solo projects that you do during the day. I think that's really cool that you've had the awareness to say, oh, well, these projects are kind of my me time at work, where I don't necessarily answer chats because I'm busy working on something artsy, which I know really gets your brain firing. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
Get those endorphins going when I get to make something that's like pretty. That's my favorite thing about web design. It's like the perfect balance of pretty and organized and technical. Like it's all of it. It's not just purely creative. I mean, it is, but it's not like splatter painting or drawing. Like there's also some logic to it. And it really lets me just get into my element and just be and process and be very just like that hyper focus mentality. And I enjoy it a lot. So I think it's okay for self-care to be a part of your work. But I think it's also important to recognize that that's not the case for a lot of people.
Sure.
And there's aspects of my job that are very much not self-care and are the opposite of self-care. Just like anybody, you know, you have those really tough meetings or those really tough projects that are super just like, ugh, stressful. But I think it's important to find those little pieces of your day-to-day that can be self-care if you're going about it with the right mindset. And also maybe just adding aspects to it. So like maybe you have creative projects at work that you really, really love working on. Make yourself a fancy cup of coffee and put in your headphones and listen to a really encouraging podcast like this one or another one. and just lean into it. Lean into that mindset and that self-care feeling, and don't get caught up in the how it's supposed to be, what self-care is supposed to be. Just do and be in what works for you.
Sure. Or put your headphones on and turn on some loud, fast metal music and set your standing desk too. Up and do a little dance.
Do a little, have a little dance party. Dance it out.
To the little metal music.
I love it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Before you go, be sure to grab our free Own Your Self-Care Starter Kit by visiting theselfcare.life/ownyourselfcare. This kit is specially designed to help you identify what kind of self-care will work best for you. That way, you can start developing your own self-care lifestyle. You can find the link in our show notes as well.
If you'd like to stay connected, find us on TikTok at The Self-Care Lifestyle and on Instagram at Sarah Strives. Have a question, feedback, or an episode request? Text us at 512-998-1194. Chances are we might even respond. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk at you again soon.